Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore with hosts Teddy Krogman, Devil in Red,
and Melissa Pierce, entrepreneur and natural redhead.
Teddy, senior style icon, what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to tell you a bit, Melissa, because we haven't really chatted much this month. I wanted to tell you about the local Chicago events that I attended.
Yeah,
fashion events. Yes. Yeah. And one of the events that I attended was my friend Maxie Black. She's a model, professional model, but she also has a production company called M&M Productions. And she had a fabulous fashion show in February called The Cinema. And it was kind of like they had a thrift store, I shouldn't call it a thrift store, but a vintage store called Vintage Frills.
Okay.
Did some of the styling and the clothes. Actually, the jacket that I have on is right off the runway. You could order the clothes right off the runway with a QR code. So if you liked something one of the models was wearing, you could order it right off the QR code.
Wait, were these vintage clothes?
Yes.
This is vintage, what I'm wearing. One of a kind of its kind.
Yes. What's actually weird about this is when I saw the size in this and I thought, you know, it's a little loose, but I like it loose. It kind of gives it a tunic look and it's meant to be a long jacket, but it was a size 14. Now I wear in real life in today's sizing, I wear a size 4. A size 6 floats on me. So that shows you the difference in sizing, probably back more around the 40s, 50s, early 60s.
Oh, I
remember. The sizing was a lot bigger because I remember my mom always used to brag that she was a size 12, which size 12 now is considered like, you know, a plus size.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But my mom, who was not, you know, overweight in any way, would brag that she wore a size 12. So the sizing was a lot different. I mean, if you wore a size 8, you were considered very tiny at that time.
Right. I made my own wedding dress and I used a vintage pattern. And I was a size 4-6 at the time.
Uh-huh.
Not that anymore.
Yeah.
But I had to use a 12-14 pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a size 14 jacket. So Maxie's fashion show was fabulous. It was based on kind of 1950s glamorous cinema. I borrowed a dress from one of my favorite designers, Lean Gundungo, who has a design house called Kavanchi.
Oh, that's the one in Evanston.
Yes, located in Evanston. And she lent me a beautiful black velvet off-the-shoulder scallop dress with a cinched in waist and had a crinoline underneath. So, you know, in the 50s, they had kind of the poofy cocktail dress.
You must have so much fun wearing it.
Oh, I did. Yeah. And then Lee started out as a milliner.
So
she actually gave me a really cute little hat that I wore on the side and it had a veil. And then I had white long gloves on.
Okay,
very Teddy, 50s is, dramatic.
I know this is my you know, dream I love for you, right? I know you loved the 70s. But
yeah, you know,
I see
love
all
the glam of the 30s, 40s and 50s.
All the art books in your house. And I'm like, oh, Teddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was right up my alley. And Maxie did a fabulous job. I also got to meet Maxie's mom in the bathroom. This was the funniest thing.
Okay.
There was this crowd of women around the bathroom sink and I needed to get in there to wash my hands. And they were all beautiful. They were the models from the show. Right. And they were all crying around. Oh, you beautiful girls, move out of the way. And all of a sudden, this one mature woman, a very attractive mature woman emerges, and she looks at me and she said to me, "Are you Teddy?" And I said, "Yes, how do you know?" And she goes, "Oh, Maxie talks about you all the time." It was Maxie's mom. So I got to meet Maxie's mom. And interestingly enough, as we were talking, we found out that we both share the same discipline. Maxie's mom is a PsyD. She's a psychologist. And I'm a licensed, I'm a retired licensed clinical social worker. So we both work in behavioral health.
Wow.
So that was very
interesting. Do we need to bring her on the podcast?
I don't know.
Talk about parenting a fashion designer?
I don't know, but she did a great job on Maxie. I'll tell you that much. Because she is a doll and a gem. So that was on a Friday. The very next day, Ken and I got up and we attended the Blue Jacket event given by FGI.
That's right. I saw pictures of that.
Yes. Yeah. And that was another fabulous event. That was a brunch to raise money for a zero prostate cancer. And my husband, Ken, is a prostate cancer survivor.
I didn't know.
So that event meant a lot to us that we were helping to raise money for more prostate cancer research. And it was fabulous. A.J. Johnson was there. Now, if you don't know who A.J. Johnson is, he's a very popular local Chicago celebrity, makeup and hairstylist. He used to do Oprah's hair, Vanessa Williams' hair. He currently works on The Housewives of Atlanta, and he recently did The Housewives of Potomac. And he was on, now I know you're not a reality show fan. I do watch, like I said, The Housewives of Beverly Hills in New York. And there's a show that comes on right after that by the guy that runs these shows called Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And AJ was recently this Sunday on the Academy Awards night. AJ was there on Watch What Happens Live with his best friend, who is one of the housewives of Potomac.
What?
And AJ was the bartender.
In the episode, Watch What Happens Live. Okay, he wasn't the bartender, because now you're talking about seven different things. He wasn't the bartender.
They have a pretend bartender. That's like a guest spot.
Yeah. Of course. Okay, yeah. But he was at the event as well.
AJ was our MC at the Blue Jacket. So that's why I brought up AJ was the MC of the Blue Jacket event. We had a great time. We came in, we were greeted with mimosas. So you got a little loosened up. Oh. Saw a lot of great friends there and chatted with them.
And it's
them.
Called Blue Jacket because everyone's wearing a blue jacket?
Well, that's kind of the theme. You're supposed to wear like a blue jacket if you have one or something blue. Actually, this event was started by the mothership FGI New York.
Uh-huh.
And they've been doing it from what Jess Crane tells me about 10 years in New York. This is the first time the Chicago group did the Blue Jacket, but I think that it was pretty successful. So I'm hoping they'll do it next year and, you know, in coming years.
Right. I love that they are just doing so much more to build community here.
They do. And it was great. You know, I got to see a lot of friends that I know from past fashion events. We had a great fashion show. One of my favorite designers, two of my favorite designers were in the fashion show. Our friend Donna Saadi.
Great.
She had a fabulous gray suit, military looking suit with a gray coat with a fur collar over it on the model. It was stunning.
I need to see that.
Stunning. I'll show you a picture of it. It's absolutely stunning. Raj Patel from Karmic Couture was there. And of course, he had some of his fabulous fashions. And I love myself some Raj. Lean was there as well, too. And she really brought it. She had a cute hat on. She had this poof kind of top on with a cameo. Looked really very fashion, very stylish.
Sounds
glamorous.
Sounds classy.
Lean could be her own model. She's so pretty. And so that was that event. It was fabulous beyond. Then what else did I attend? I'm trying to think.
You just have such a big
I know. Curio held a Galentine's Day. So that's the day before Valentine's.
The 13th.
They had a Galentine's event at 900 North Michigan Shops. And there were certain shops that we could shop at. Now, this is fun. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
We were able to shop at certain shops. And they had like sample sales. And they had percentages off and that kind of thing. So it was from 6 to 8. So Ken and I got there promptly at 6. Nobody was there. So we checked in. 900 North has been reconfigured so much since the last time I had been there. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got lost. By the time we found our way, I found Aziza, which was a really nice store. Went in there, found myself for only, I don't know if I should tell the price, but it was so inexpensive, $50. It was a sample of these black, like lace glittery pants that were so chic. I mean, if I just wear it with a black cashmere sweater, you've got a whole outfit. It's perfect, right? So there's this blonde, pretty girl at the there to help. And, can I help you in this and that? She looks at me and she says to me, oh, my God, I know you. I recognize you. We met at Curio. And, of course, you know me with my no facial recognition, name recognition.
Teddy might be face blind.
I am on Faith Blind.
And I can't remember people's names. So together we are a terrible pair.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's talking to me. And all of a sudden I look at her and I said, I remember you. You're the girl who was sitting right next to me. The blonde girl who was sitting right next to me on the couch who I posted our pictures and I mislabeled her. I put her down as Hannah R. Carlson. Now, Hannah Carlson's a model.
You were like, well, I knew you were pretty.
And Hannah says to me, Teddy, that's not me in the picture. And I'm like, oh, I screwed up again. So I found out this girl's name who sold me the pants. Her name is Campbell, which is a very unique first name.
Yeah.
Campbell. I can't remember Campbell's.
It's Naomi.
Campbell. No, her first name is Campbell.
I know.
Campbell.
I know.
Yeah. So, I finally now know her first name, at least. She's adorable, very darling. And she also told me her mom loves my IG site. So that was good. So her mom's a fan. So we went to that event, got those pants. Can't wait for the next time I can wear those to some kind of event.
I am excited to see that. Congratulations.
Finally.
Wait, you were alone at a sample sale?
With Ken.
I mean, with Ken, but alone at a sample sale?
I had all the samples to myself. Every single one. And I came up with those black pants. And you know why? Because pants, because I'm short, you almost always have to be shortened.
Right.
But these pants were made to be kind of like cropped looking. But on me, they look like normal pants. So they're fabulous. I love them.
You got them for $50 and you don't.
$50. And my guess is they were, by the prices at Aziza, they were many dollars more than the
$50. Oh, I'm sure. And you also didn't have to pay the short person tax of getting them.
No alterations, which talk about the short person's tax. Do you want to hear something? This is interesting. So I ordered a special blue suit for the blue jacket event.
Of course.
And I ended up wearing the t-shirt that I told you and Monica, remember Monica Corcoran Harrell, who we had on?
Yes.
I had bought it from her newsletter. It's a white t-shirt and it has a stencil of Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss on it in blue.
Nice.
So I wore that under my blue suit that I wore to the blue jacket event.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know the oddest thing? I ordered the suit and I was all prepared. Minimally, I'm going to have to take the pants to be shortened. Sometimes not always the sleeves because I have longer arms.
Mm.
I put the thing on to try it on to see where I'm going to have to do the alterations, get the alterations. The suit fit me perfectly. The pants were not too short. I mean, too long. The sleeves fit me perfect. It looked like it was designed for me. I have never, ever had a pantsuit, especially one that I, order over the mail. It's not like I tried it on. Fit me like a glove perfectly. So no alterations necessary. I mean, that is extraordinary for a pantsuit. So I really lucked out this month on the savings, because anywhere can be from $30 to $50 to get the alterations on my clothes. So those were some fabulous events. Lastly, in the month of February, I went to, let me shut off my phone. I don't know why I have it on.
I'll cut that part out.
Okay. So anyway, I went to Arabelle, who we're going to have on our, we're going to interview on our podcast, chat with on our podcast today. Arabelle Rosales. I went to her. She's got a new podcast. Now listen to this.
Okay.
Arabelle is so connected, knows so many people. Arabelle had this beautiful podcast party, and she invited all the people that she's interviewed so far on her podcast, plus additional friends and people. There were about 150 people at this event.
That's a fun party.
She had rented a beautiful Airbnb. She had a chef there making all kinds of, delicious tidbits for us. She had a special drinks. One was made of passion fruit and the other one was made of strawberry. She wanted us to vote by the end of the night which our favorite drink was, because now she's going to have a Chic Innovator official cocktail.
Oh, we need to get on.
We have our coffee mugs, but anyway. The official coffee mugs. Show that.
Our official drink is coffee.
The official coffee mugs. But anyway, so Arabelle looked beautiful. She had a step and repeat. I wore a really cute, checked outfit, big, huge palazzo pants, had a checked bustier, then had a white shirt with a tie, and then wore a beret, and I had the fingerless gloves on. Really cute.
Oh, very cute.
Really cute. And so that party was fabulous. What was really nice, again, met people who came up to me. Hi, Teddy. Hi, Teddy. And I'm like, what's your name again? I'm especially embarrassed. There's this one wonderful guy. His name is John. And he's a producer kind of guy. I've met him literally at three different events. And every time I meet him, and he's got a simple name, John. Right. I have to say to him, what's your name? And then he tells me very nicely, very sweet, good looking guy. My name is John Teddy. So now I've got his name emblazoned. I told him in my brain, John, I will never forget your name. And I believe the first time I met John was when I got the Rising Star Award at FGA. But for some reason, I can never remember John's name. So, John, I promise you, I remember your name. I know your face, definitely. It's just the name that for some reason was eluding. Maybe you don't look like a John. You probably look like, you know, you need a longer name or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I'm always forgetting John's name.
Did you take a picture with John and tag him?
I do have a picture of John. I have many pictures of John.
Okay, do you know what my daughter did for me because I couldn't keep her friends straight?
Huh.
Is she printed out pictures of all of her friends and put their names under them, then drew a map of Chicago, and then pinned each picture to what neighborhood this friend lived in with their name. So when she talks about a friend, I can look and be like, oh, you're going to, you know.
See, I don't have anybody to do that for me. And besides, it would be filled with hundreds now. I've met so many people. I could not. But anyway, Arabelle's party was fabulous. Kudos to Arabelle. Can't wait to see her today. But you want to know the milestone that Arabelle just hit? And she's only been on. I remember she interviewed me for her podcast. I still haven't been on yet. I mean, she hasn't put my episode up yet. She did a really cute video. It's on YouTube. You could watch it, of kind of snippets of all of Arabelle's podcasts that she did for the Chic Innovator Party. So that's on YouTube. You can see it. And actually, my picture is right in the front.
Nice.
Of the thing.
I'm
wearing my glittery shorts outfit.
Oh, that's a cute one.
But anyway, Arabelle has only been on air, I would say, since maybe, and I'll probably off with this, maybe mid-March, maybe mid-January.
Mm-hmm.
And the party was at the end. So she's maybe been on for 6 or 7 episodes. She already has 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Oh, good.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's fabulous.
We have like 100 across like 5 platforms.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't.
No, I've been looking at them. If you give me the Spotify password, that would be appreciated.
I mean, you have it.
Well, I told you to give it to me.
You have all of that information.
No, you didn't have the Spotify when you came that one time. And I've been asking you for it. I have Apple.
It's on a spreadsheet.
Do not say the password. That's all we need. Is somebody hacking into our podcast?
If they hacked it, maybe they would promote the podcast for us. I should have Michael do that.
I don't know. But anyway, so let me say to all of you, if you're enjoying this podcast or any of our podcasts, it's very simple. Just hit the subscribe. It's free. It's not like you're paying for any kind of subscription. But the good thing about subscribing is you will get alerted when next episodes come out. I try to alert like my main friends and some of my main IG people on the day that our podcast comes out. But Instagram will only let you DM 50 people at a time.
Right. Well, and the nice thing, at least about Spotify or any of the platforms, is if you subscribe, then it's waiting for you when you're ready to listen.
Right. So,
you know, on my drives here, I catch up on my podcast.
Yes. Right. Exactly. I would say that's my guess is when most people are listening to their podcast when they're driving.
When they're in transit or on the train.
A podcast is basically a radio show.
Or cleaning the house.
Yeah. Or cleaning the house. Who is it? I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Jordan, our friend Jordan Chavez.
Mm.
Jordan says he listens to our podcast when he cleans the house. Yeah. So he says, Teddy, I automatically listen to your podcast when I clean the house. I believe it was Jordan that told me this. So I thought that was kind of neat. I like the fact that, you know, that's his house cleaning kind of entertainment to get through the drudgery of housework.
Right.
So Jordan, a shout out to our friend Jordan Chavez. If it wasn't you that said that, Jordan, then somebody remind me who said it, but I think it was Jordan.
Right. I've really been enjoying Jordan's Instagram.
Oh, yeah. He does some great stuff.
Yeah. Jordan's really been like just pumping up the
the
weird and the glamour. And I love it so much. It's just a spot of joy.
Let me tell you what he recently did. He overcame one of his fears. He told me he is, he doesn't like to talk in front of groups of people. But our friend Jordan was invited to speak in front of a class at Northwestern recently. And it was, I said, what was the topic, Jordan? And I think he said it was supposed to be about Hispanic fashion designers. And Jordan is Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, you know, whichever moniker you want to use. But he did a fabulous job. He had a picture of him with all the students afterwards. It looked like everybody really enjoyed his talk.
I love it.
And his husband, Clayton, told me he did a fabulous job. So he was so proud of himself. And I was proud of him, too, because he overcame one of his fears and he did a great, great job. So Jordan was recently a speaker at Northwestern University. So that was
That tells you.
Yeah. And I think he also told me he's gearing up to do a fashion show.
Well, I will go to a Jordan fashion show, regardless if I have the flu.
Yeah.
I continuously get sick because I have too many children.
You got two kids at home. What do you have? You have two daughters at home.
That's right. No, also a stepson.
Yeah, but he comes in and out.
Right. He comes in and out of a lot of places and he brings the pathogens with him.
But he is the little cootie monster.
He's a cootie. Actually, I got the flu from Adele, though. So,
Adele.
That's a senior in a high school of 4,000 little pathogen. Yeah.
Well, she'll be graduating soon.
That's right. And then it'll just be. And as long as I stay away from all the children.
All the children. Just get two kids.
Well,
I was overwhelmed. Who should I talk? I was overwhelmed with one child. I stopped after one. I was like, I can't. My nerves are shot.
Imagine the pandemic when all four of the children were home for 2 years.
So your son was home too?
My grown son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Home. The other two home. Tesla home. Everybody home. Yeah. 3-bedroom house.
So you would commit suicide then?
I'm dead now.
I'm not making fun of suicide.
I'm dead now. Therapist.
I know. I always have the disclaimer. Well, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, I'm not being overly, you know, politically correct and all that other kind of bullshit. But really, you know, things like suicide that are very serious used to be flung around, just like a lot of mental health things. You know, the loony bin, the funny farm, you know, people still call them psych wards. There's no wards. Everybody has individual rooms. There's not psych wards anymore. So I don't want to participate being a mental health professional in being part of that, you know, part of society that's still somehow thinks that mental illness is something to laugh at, and it's not. So that's why I had a slip up there for a moment, but I self-corrected.
Right.
You know.
Right. And that's all we ask.
Yeah.
That's all anybody can do.
That's all I can do. Right. You know.
Michael and I keep having this conversation. We're like, you know, what did you do today?
Yeah.
Da, da, da. I made these hundreds of mistakes. I was like, great. That means you're human.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, but AI makes mistakes too.
It does.
Right. But humans make mistakes.
Well, AI is only as good as the information that you put into it. It's just like a computer. Well, you know, so it's only as good as the info that you put in. Garbage. Remember the old saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Right. I was in a play about garbage in, garbage out in elementary school.
Well, that's when computers, you know, don't forget you were a child of what, the 70s you were born in or something.
Right.
Like that.
76.
So computers really weren't highly used, especially in the schools and even the office space. I remember till the 90s, really, you know, they were kind of off and on. But really, I would say more towards the mid to late 90s is when we had the big tube computers, you know, like they were like the old TV sets and stuff. Like
I do remember my dad had a Tandy.
Yeah.
And I programmed screensavers on it as a young child. Just, you know, you just copy whatever's on there. And my mom was like, that is not a toy.
Yeah.
You need to go outside and play. And hilariously, all of the kids have them as toys now.
Yeah.
And I call up my mom.
Well, you know, I mean, you got all the social media. So that's basically their entertainment.
Right. And games, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. The gaming is big, huge. I remember my son. Oh, God. I would say it, when he was in high school in the 90s, when he would come home from school. Now, he was very involved in sports. So this kid would be going from 7 o'clock in the morning. He wouldn't come home till 6 o'clock at night, you know, a lot of times. But he'd be hitting that thing, going away, you know, he could do that for like hours, you know. And I was like, I couldn't pay attention that long to something, you know, it's just not in me. But he was, you know, geared, he'd be doing that.
You're doing this, so he must have had a Nintendo.
I don't.
Right, he had the rectangle pad.
He had a Nintendo. And I think we had at one point, I didn't realize how bad it was. There was this game, and you were supposed to keep your kids away from it. And it was about gangs, and they were raping girls, streets. Oh, I can't remember what the name. I got to think of this. It's driving me crazy. It was like whores, pimps, gangsters, drug dealers.
Oh, this is the driving game.
This is a game that my son was playing at the age of 14 or 15.
Yeah, of course. Of course he was. I can't remember what it is now that I'm looking at you laughing.
I'm trying to think of it. We'll think of it. It'll pop into our brains because it was so popular. It was like the most popular.
It's called Grand Theft Auto.
There you go. That's a Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, I didn't really realize the extent of the graphic stuff that they had on there until one day I just said, let me watch this kid playing this game. And I'm like, Alex, what's that? What's that going on, Neil? And he was like, oh, don't pay attention to it, Mom. And he's boom, 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 shooting people.
Just a game.
Women are, that doesn't look like wholesome.
Right. He was like, it's a fantasy, but I get to participate.
Oh my God.
I was like, participatory bullshit. I think that's a downfall of our society is when you create bullshit that people don't just watch, but they get to participate in.
Yeah.
Then it feels okay.
Yeah. Well, now they have my grandson. He plays some game. I don't know. The one where they change all the skins. Do you know what I'm talking about?
They can have different skins. Are they blocks or are they something else?
No. They're like people shape.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can't remember the name of the darn game, but you can actually play with other people that get online.
Is it The Sims?
No.
No. A different one.
No.
Anyway.
But yeah, Alex Jr. Plays that. So. Mm-hmm. This is obviously runs in the family. So anyway, back to Arabelle, fabulous. She's got 1,000 subscribers. We need to pump it up. We need to pump it up with subscribers. We need to pump it up, man. If you're watching this, just hit that button and subscribe. It's very easy.
Aw. No, we just need to.
We want you to like us. We want you to like us. We want you to really, really like us. So anyway, all right. Let's go to the next area. We're going to end up with the whole podcast.
This is going to be like an hour long. So maybe do we want to like stop it and just do a new one?
No, let me just say real quick, because these I haven't been to. So I'll just list them real quick. So it should take us on. So, well, I did do one thing. Sunday, I missed the Academy Awards, but was well worth it. Remember Brittany Witz, who we interviewed from Why Not Petites?
Yes, I remember
Brittany. She asked me to participate in a promotional video for her next event, which is going to be held during Chicago Art Week.
When is Art Week?
I think it's the last week in April. If it's not the last week, it's the third week in April, but it's towards the end of April.
Oh, Adele, my daughter, sorry.
Go ahead.
Was selected to show her whole portfolio at the Bridgeport Art Center during that time.
Excellent. Okay. Fabulous. Okay. The whole week is going to be like, we have fashion week. This is a whole week of art. Yes. And Brittany has decided to give a fashion oriented art event. Oh. It's going to be a women's dinner. And we made a promotional video. I think it took us about 3 hours to complete it. And it was the premise of the story was, different generations of this young woman are sitting around a table having dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm, of course, the matriarch, so I got to sit at the head of the table. And this young, beautiful redhead, she had red, beautiful hair like you, only hers was like very curled, beautiful girl. She came like with a candle walking towards us, like she's trying to find the light. Huh. And then she comes and she finds all of her wise female relatives, what mentors, inspiration.
All of her wise petite mentors.
Yes, and we were all petite. Yes. And all the girls were just gorgeous.
Of course.
Absolutely gorgeous. And they were all involved in the modeling industry to some extent. One of the women sitting next to me, and I believe her name was Felicia. I think I got it right, Felicia, because you know how I told you I forget names. Felicia was a journalist for many years in Texas. She was a TV journalist.
Oh,
she was in Texas. She said Louisiana. It may have been Alabama. And she quit. And you want to know why?
Tell me.
Because she would get literally attacked when she was doing a report on the streets. She would get attacked by MAGA nut jobs who would call her fake news and try to attack her. And she said she couldn't take it anymore. Besides all the horrible things she was reporting on, she says, Teddy,
sure.
It was, you know, like I would be there at the scene where they're like bringing dead bodies out and children are dead. She says it just got to be too much for her. But she's a fabulous, beautiful woman. And so now she's doing modeling in Chicago and trying to get a foothold as far as what she can do mm-hmm. in this particular market. But as fabulous as she was in the journalism, she just couldn't take the harassment from all the MAGA people coming at her, calling her fake news. And plus the trauma of a lot of the stuff that she was covering.
You know, I was listening to this podcast, which is great. It's called Sisters in Law, which has, I can't remember anyone's name right, but one of the lawyers from Watergate is in it.
Oh, does she wear a big pins all the time? I know because she's on MSNBC a lot.
I think so. So I was listening to it and they were talking about all of these, you know, people are resigning because they don't want to do the work of MAGA, of dismantling the government, et cetera. And it struck me, I was like, oh, you know what? All of the people who have ethics and hearts are resigning because they cannot deal with or do the dirty work of this government. And what a shame. I mean, one, you have to make that decision.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people. Here's the thing, the ones that I really feel sorry for. You know, it's great if you have the opportunity to say, you know what, this doesn't align with my personal morality, what I believe we need to do for our citizens, that kind of thing. But there's so many people who, Melissa, just need to hang on to the job because they're living paycheck to paycheck, week to week, and they can't let go of those jobs.
They can't let go of their jobs.
And so they're just waiting, you know, to hope that the other shoe doesn't fall. And I think one of the things that the Democrats did, and we'll see if it works, because I'm not watching that damn speech tomorrow with that goofball. By the time everybody sees this, this will be over because the speech is tomorrow. But Trump is doing a joint session of Congress. It's not a State of the Union. It's a joint session of Congress. And the Democrats have invited any and all federal workers that would like to participate in that event. So they can come to Congress and sit there and listen to Donald Trump tell us, along with Elon Musk, who's going to be probably standing there with a stupid baseball cap and his kid on his shoulders in the joint session of Congress. But the Democrats are bringing the either fired or people who are worried about being fired federal workers so that they can attend this event as well. So that ought to be very interesting. And I will be watching the news recaps because I will not sit there and listen to that orange monster babble on and lie to us for over an hour. I just won't.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching that tomorrow.
Yeah. His voice really does grate on me.
It's irritating. It's irritating. In fact, I put up a thing in my stories today. I have a Canadian friend, Amanda. Shout out to Amanda Silver. And she just did a simple video today. And she says, I'm going to say this. The biggest idiot in the world, 90% of the people know who I'm talking about.
I love it. I put it up
in my stories because I thought, yes, we all know who you're talking about. That would be Donald J. Trump.
And
she's Canadian.
And his henchmen.
And his henchman,
J.D.
Vance with his eyeliner. He thinks he's in a rock band or something. With his eyeliner on.
Yeah.
Like he's in a rock band. Because he thinks that makes his eyes look more glamorous. He's an ass and a half. Well, we'll talk about that in the next episode. Let me just finish my Chicago event.
About the Why Not Petites event.
Oh, Didn't I not say that?
Oh, no, no, we segued.
Okay, so it was just a quick promo story about this young girl coming, meeting up with her ancestors, wise ancestors of all different ages. She comes, she finds the light. And so it's kind of like a sisterhood, kind of women passing down knowledge from generation to generation kind of a thing. And it was, it took a long time, and it's only going to be a brief video. I mean, it's going to be short enough for us to put up on our Instagram stories and our Instagram. So it's not like any big, long production, but Abe from AC Photography was our main cameraman, and Chow, shout out to Chow. She was our producer, and she was looking to make sure that we looked good in the video and all that kind of stuff. It took us a good, I would say from the time we got there till the time we finished up, it was about 7 o'clock. So it took us a good 3 hours to get all this done. And now they're going to cut it and, you know, make it look like something.
Right. Yeah. For a 40-minute documentary, if I don't have 20 to 30 hours of footage, I will not get what I need.
Yeah. So people totally would be surprised how much you have to shoot to just get a few seconds, even that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I did that. Now let me just list the other Chicago events I'll be at, and then we'll sign off. And you'll see our next buddy episode where we're going to talk about, I believe, the Castle Core trend. We're going to talk about how luxury is making a comeback, and fur especially.
And so, we're going to talk about the reasons why.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting thing. So let me just tell you, I am going to visit a designer in Niles called Omania, I believe is how you say her name. She does gorgeous bridal and formal wear.
This is also close to where I live.
This is in Niles, I believe. And I'm going to be doing some, you know, she's pulling some stuff for me to do there. I'm real excited. I'm going to our friend Rachel Penka. She is helping to sponsor or style an event for a new Annie Bing store that's opening up at Oak Brook Mall on Thursday.
I mean it.
And so the event is from 4 until I think.
Are they still going to have the store downtown? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. This is just an additional store.
Oak Brook Mall, also close to me.
Yes. Oak Brook Mall from 4 to, I believe, till the store closes. So I'll be there at some point. I told Rachel I would come, and I told her, pull me some jeans. Now, you know, these are my sizes and that kind of thing. The only thing that I'm concerned about is, of course, the jeans will probably be too long for me.
Just
so
bring your highest
heels. Short person, even with the highest heels, the short person, you know, punishment. So I'm doing Annie Bing with Rachel. And then I had this wonderful photographer, Marcus Jensen, a photographer in Chicago, reach out to me and ask me if I wanted to collab with him. So we're going to do a photo shoot. And he does very dramatic, kind of almost cinematic photographs. They're like portraitures. So I'm going to be doing that in March. I was also invited by Vintage Frills, where I got this jacket. I bought right off the runway, Vintage Frills, this jacket. I've been invited by them to attend their Sex in the City fashion show. And that will be, I believe, in the middle of March. And then, of course, at the end of March, we have the Curio Mixer.
Yes.
And you're coming with me. And that's going to be at Celeste. So we'll be able to see all our friends and take photos and all. That's always a good time. So we'll get to join up with people. So that's it. I mean, I had a busy February. Looks like I'm going to have a busy March. It's getting to the point, and I like this, it's getting to the point where I have to start turning people down because I have too many things booked. So that's always nice.
It's so nice to be wanted. Yeah, it's tough to be retired and wanted.
Retired and wanted. And just a little thing. I went to my oncologist yesterday, and he told me that I'm doing great.
Hey, you saved the best thing for last.
Yeah, I felt good. You know why? Because I asked him. I had HER2 positive breast cancer, which is a very aggressive cancer. And I said to him, you know, can this thing come back anytime? He says, well, the thing with your type of cancer is it's very aggressive. And he says, if it was going to come back, it probably would have come back by now. He says, the only thing that I do have is also my tumor was fueled a lot by estrogen. And that's one of the reasons I look so fabulous, is because I have too much estrogen in my body.
Oh, darn.
And they're constantly trying to suppress it with these pills.
That's right.
But I still get hot flashes, which means there's a lot of estrogen in there. He said that the estrogen fueled part of the tumor can be very slow growing. It's not there now. They can't see anything. But it could take it could take 20 years for that thing to grow. And I said, by then I'll be 91. Who the
hell? You're like, yeah, 91.
He said to me, he says, ah, yeah, probably something will get you before then anyway.
You know what? I feel like when you work in these kind of professions where like mortality can be very high, that dark humor is just so.
Oh, helpful. Well, we have what's called, what do they call it? Crypt humor, which is, you have to have that when you're in the mental health profession. You should hear some of the things that we would say. People would shun us if they heard the things that we said, but it was a way to get that relief. You know, when you hear these horrible stories, these horrible things that people have been through, and they come to you to try to give them some guidance, many times you have to go to your colleagues and just kind of have some dark humor about it. Because if you don't, you will literally start to decompensate. I mean, so as you said, I'm dealing with cancer. That is not a funny disease. But if you don't have some sense of humor, you know, then what am I going to do? Just go into a deep, dark depression.
Right.
So you have to have some kind of humor. So forgive me. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I am 71 years old. So, you know, it's not like I'm going to live another 40 years here. So Saki says, well, Teddy, I'd give you another, you know, 20, 30 years to live. For me, 20, 30 years to live. I'll be 100 years old in 30 years. I'll be 101, like Iris Apfel.
You know what? That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. So you never know.
I'm for it.
You just never know. So that's it. That's our show for today.
Teddy, why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
I don't know, Melissa. Why don't we?
Beats me.